So the Blockwart, listening at the door, was something that the regime used. It created a sense, certainly, among the population of the regime being everywhere. It had eyes and ears everywhere. And although one could get away with making a few comments, telling jokes about the regime, you might get away with it once or twice. But then a third time, there might be a knock at 3 o'clock on your door at 3 o'clock in the morning, and a number of men in long black leather top coats would escort you down to Gestapo headquarters for interrogation. You might then be released the next morning. But the effect was chilling. The Nazis discovered that arriving in the middle of the night, 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, that people were particularly vulnerable, and that it had a chilling effect. For one thing, it meant that neighbors didn't actually see the Gestapo arriving, but the next day there might be rumors. People would say, did you hear that someone visited Frau Schmidt last night? They came at 3. There was just a pervasive sense of fear, of internalized fear. Looking back on the Third Reich, a great many Germans don't talk about or don't recall being actually frightened. But there was a sense that, you know, you simply behaved in certain ways. You did certain things. A great many Germans talked about simply one way of coping with this was to put the radio by the front door of the apartment, turn it on loudly, then go into a back room, close the door, read, or do whatever the family would do. But then you would have done what you were supposed to do. You have the radio, you're listening, you put the flag out on the Führer's birthday, and all of these sorts of external observances. But the presence of the party, the presence of this system of terror was always there. The concentration camps, I think it's important that one understand about the camps. The first one was at Dachau, outside of Munich. It was created because during 1933 and early 1934, when mass arrests were taking place, largely of communists, people with social democratic backgrounds or sympathies, obstreperous Catholic priests, liberals who simply wouldn't play ball, wouldn't get into line with the regime, the jails overflowed. It was necessary to do something. The SA was rounding people up, putting them in abandoned factories, putting them in school gymnasiums, and so on. And this couldn't continue. So very early on in 1933, the regime opened its first Konzentrationslager, its first concentration camp. It was front page news in Germany. There's a big photograph of the gates of Dachau with the ironic comment that Arbeit macht frei, work will set you free. These were seen as re-education centers for those who simply wouldn't, who were antisocial. A number of them would be created, about a half a dozen, down to the outbreak of the war. They were not there as collection points for Jews at this point, but rather for political prisoners. Dachau, Buchenwald, Sachsenhausen, all close to major cities in Germany. It was similar to the Gulag system in the Soviet Union, but nowhere nearly as extensive before the outbreak of the war. This was the system of terror that was to keep people in line, those that were inclined to resist or to, if not resist, very few people are courageous enough under these circumstances to actually take steps to resist. But the regime didn't want to tolerate even opposition, that is just harboring anti-regime thoughts. This was the system of terror. At the same time, the regime was relentlessly upbeat in its propaganda. There was a reinforcing system of political indoctrination. And the central theme of Nazi domestic policy and of Nazi propaganda in the early years of the regime, indeed, actually all the way through the pre-war regime, was the emphasis on overcoming the traditional divisions of region, religion, and class that had bedeviled Germany since unification in 1871. The aim of the Third Reich was to create a classless society of people's comrades, as they referred to it. It's quite typical of using the two terms, the Volksgenosse, on the one hand, Volks indicating a kind of right-wing orientation, and Comrade, a term borrowed clearly from the political vocabulary of the left.